Hello, I'm Jennifer Neville with this week's Middle East report. Coming up, the United Nations pushes for a Palestinian state. The church remains strong in the Ukraine in spite of the ongoing war, and 90% of residents have returned to the Gaza border. This week has been the culmination of an initiative at the United Nations to push for the creation of a state of Palestine. And the military in Israel has developed a new defensive laser weapon. With more, here is news correspondent Kent Allen.
The major news in Israel this week is the goings-on at the United Nations headquarters in New York. Last year, the UN General Assembly designated both France and Saudi Arabia to be co-chairs of what is called the long title of the High-Level International Conference for the Peaceful Settlement of the Question of Palestine and the Implementation of the Two-State Solution. To that end, President Macron of France has been the most visible factor in spearheading the holding of international conferences last July and now this week at the United Nations in New York, where nation after nation have been stepping up and saying that they officially recognize the state of Palestine. The document established with the initiative of France and Saudi Arabia calls for the disarming of Hamas and political reform of the current Palestinian leadership in Ramallah in the West Bank as a way of moving towards creating a de facto state of Palestine. But the document also calls for Israel to relinquish control over the ancient areas of Jerusalem, as well as to dismantle the settlements in the West Bank, which are non-starters for the political mainstream across the board in Israel. Israel is signaling that following the start of the current war with Hamas, Iran, and its proxies, that a two-state solution between Israel and the Palestinians is now off the table. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu will be giving an initial response to France's latest push to create the state of Palestine. In other news, the army in Israel has successfully concluded another series of tests, and the newest kind of Star Wars-like laser weapon, which is designed to shoot down drones and other incoming missiles. This is Kent Allen reporting from Jerusalem.
In other news, as the Ukraine continues to face missile attacks from Russia with no end in sight, I spoke earlier to Piers Arthur Crowe, who heads up the One New Man Network in the Ukraine, about the impact the war is having on the country. I'd like to begin by asking you about the situation in Russia now and the ongoing war and how this is affecting the people at this time.
I think the general mood is somewhere between sort of fear and also sort of jaded, sort of we've seen it all before. So, I mean, after the years of war, the Ukrainian people are exhausted. They're exhausted by the process. They're exhausted by sort of running to bomb shelters every other night. They're exhausted by the sort of the grinding, slow progress that Russia has been making on the battlefield. And they're exhausted by the sort of the talk of peace from the nations around. And yet no one seems to sort of grasp the nettle and sort of deal with the issue. We saw these drones being sent from Russia into Poland. And that's sort of the latest in a long line of sort of red lines that Putin's been crossing, from sort of targeting civilians, which he's very open about. These drone attacks and missile attacks aren't targeting anything military. They're there to keep the Ukrainian people awake at night. They're there to instill fear, and they're there to hit civilian areas, and it's gone from sort of general civilian areas to hospitals, and then on the weekend we saw government buildings being hit for the first time, and that's really the center of power and the center where all of the sort of the government functions of Ukraine happens. So they hit one of the key buildings that sort of equivalent to our White Hall, and now we've seen drones, and not just sort of an accidental incursion, which has happened actually many times between the beginning of the war and now, but actually a deliberate, direct sort of test of NATO defenses. And that's never happened before. There's never been a Russian munition fired directly at a NATO country. And yet, what will the response be? Will the response be World War III, to put it quite bluntly. I think that this is an issue that has no longer just affects the Ukrainian people, but actually affects all the nations of the West. When you see Putin going to China and meeting with the president of Iran and the president of North Korea, and you see them all standing together, smiling and shaking hands, you think, well, what are they up to? Well, it's a direct threat to the peace and security that was established after the Second World War. And it's a brinkmanship. How far can he push things? The response might mean that sweep it under the carpet and carry on, or there will be a strong response against Russia. And what that means for the Ukrainian people, I don't know. And where that what that means for all the nations in Europe, I don't know. So we're in perilous waters, if we put it that way. And what has sort of been up until now quite a localized conflict in Ukraine looks at spreading out. Possibly to other nations. I don't know what will happen, and we need to be in prayer, absolutely, on this issue, because, you know, the peace and security that has pervaded Western Europe since the end of the Second World War has been a blessing to all of us. And if that changes, what happens next?
And as far as your work is concerned with the One New Man Network, how will this affect things? And also the challenges that, of course, you're facing in keeping going and providing aid and support through this time. It must be extremely difficult.
It is. It is. You know, we can use the word sort of miraculous or miracle, or often can be a little bit glib. But in this case, I think it's truly miraculous how the Ukrainian church has responded to this, you know, ongoing devastating conflict. It's not sort of a small limited thing. The whole country is constantly under threat, and not just the frontline areas. And for those, we focus the majority of our support to pastors and leaders ministering in frontline areas. That's not just to, you know, includes sort of soldiers, etc., and frontline villages, but also the cities like Kharkiv and Dnipro, Kramatorsk and Zaporizhia, which are all very close to the front lines and are very much under threat by the sort of the Russian army that creeps forward. And yet they continue to minister and they continue to preach the gospel and pray and give shelter to those who've had their homes destroyed or had to flee from the fighting. Because obviously, as the front lines creep forward, so more and more villages get emptied, more and more people get evacuated back. And then they need to be found somewhere to live. And this is after, you know, huge numbers have been displaced. So these problems are not going anywhere.
And Piers, in all that you've been sharing, how would you encourage our listeners to be praying for your work, for the One New Man Network, and obviously for the people of the Ukraine at this time?
I always pray, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done, and bring your peace to Ukraine, whatever that means. I believe that God has a call and a purpose for the nation of Ukraine. And so please do pray for the church in Ukraine. Whenever it comes to the future of any nation, it's so key what the believers are doing. If the church is active, if they're gathering in prayer, if they're preaching the gospel, that will spread the Lord's kingdom in that nation and bring the blessing. So please do pray for peace for Ukraine, and please do pray for the church in Ukraine. And then finally, please do pray for the One New Man in Ukraine as well, because as we come together in Jew and Gentile, we really do fulfill God's call. That the knowledge of the Lord will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea, that as we come back together as, you know, the first to the Jew first and then to the Gentile to the Greek, when we fulfill that and we bring that back together, I think that that brings blessing on all the nation as well. So please do pray for those three things.
That was Piers Arthur Crowe. For more details about their work, go to www.onenewmaneurope.com. Finally, over 2,500 Israelis have moved to Gaza border communities, bolstering the over 90% of residents living in the area before October the 7th, who have since returned home. A spokesperson for the government agency responsible for rehabilitating the region revealed on Wednesday. Among the new arrivals were more than 50 families who have signed up to live in the 13 communities that were worst affected by the attack. Residents of the five worst affected communities are still in temporary accommodation while their kibbutzim are being rehabilitated. Please pray for the Lord's protection over these communities and for the push by the UN for a Palestinian state to come to nothing, and for all the hostages to be found. This ends this edition of the Middle East Report. Please join me again next time for the latest news from Israel and the Middle East. For more details, go to onlinemiddleeastreport.com.